Are you into golf? It's an extremely popular sport in America, with tens of millions of people hitting the course every year, even if it still has a reputation as a game for the elite. That reputation certainly didn't scare off Jimmy James, who developed a love for golf after growing up poor in the Jim Crow South and rising to become a top executive at ExxonMobil. After retirement, Jimmy set himself the audacious goal of playing all 100 of America's top courses in a single year, a quest which gave him the opportunity to reflect on race and class in America. He shares those reflections in the new book, Playing from the Rough, a personal journey through America's 100 greatest golf courses. And he joins us now to share five of his key insights.
Hello, I'm Jimmy James, author of Playing from the Rough. I'm going to share five insights from my book. Insight number one, the heat of a common passion can melt away differences and foster unity. I was born invisible. My original birth certificate, now yellowing in the basement of the Walker County Courthouse in Huntsville, Texas, contains two details considered most vital about me in 1959, colored and illegitimate. Literature and history have often been written as if people like me were voiceless extras in a movie we were never intended to see. During the year-long odyssey through America's most privileged golf venues, my life often unreeled before me like one of those serialized, uninvited movies. My round at Augusta National Golf Club, the most exclusive golf club in America, unleashed fraught memories from my childhood. The world I found myself in during the ensuing stops across the year often triggered other recollections from my past. I'd come from a world that liked almost everything to find myself exploring a world that liked almost nothing. The disconnect was almost too vast to fathom. While traveling miles upon miles and playing course after course, I connected with a country I found at once beautiful and flawed, often big-hearted, but sometimes wrong-headed, proud and ashamed. After 90,756 miles, 8,797 strokes on courses across 33 states, 82 nights in hotels and other people's homes, and more money than I'd care to talk about, I played all 100 of the country's greatest courses. I'd gotten help from people of different races, genders, religions, and classes. Everywhere I went, I felt welcome, respected, and admired for the audacity of my quest and my passion for the game. I felt seen. I spent time with club members, security guards, locker room and parking lot attendants, caddies, and waitstaff, as well as people in the communities I visited, whether at a gas station, a restaurant, on an airplane, train, or bus, or inside bars and restaurant lobbies. At the clubs, I found that a common passion for golf was enough to bridge many differences. But more than the bond of golf, I found a common desire to love, laugh, cry, and hope for a better life for the ones we hold dear. These sentiments were no different than the ones I'd filtered out from conversations amid a symphony of voices of people from all walks of life inside a Golden Corral restaurant off Interstate 69 in Evansville, Indiana, on an early spring night. I reject the notion that we are only as strong as our weakest link. That holds true for a chain, but not for a society. When we work together, we can leverage our strengths and overcome our weaknesses. Insight number two, our lives are determined at the intersection of aspirations and adversity. Who we are, what we achieve, and what we contribute are determined by whether we quit when our biggest challenges threaten to derail our biggest dreams, or whether we find a way to forge on. I talk a lot about growing up in poverty, but I never say I was underprivileged. Privilege is not just about wealth. It comes in many forms. Mine came in the form of a mother who taught all eight of her kids to never quit. My mother's unwavering spirit was a beacon of hope and determination. Despite our relentless hardships, she instilled in us the belief that perseverance could transcend any obstacle. She taught us that quitting was never an option, that the true measure of success was not in what we achieved, but in what we persistently overcame. In my professional life, I faced numerous challenges that tested my resolve. There were moments when the weight of adversity felt unbearable, but I remembered my mother's words and the strength she embodied. Like when a supervisor placed a box of rocks in the middle of the table during a team meeting to represent how much sense he thought I had. Or when a coworker pulled out a Ku Klux Klan hood while we were crawling through a dark tower, thinking I might find it historically interesting. However, the choice to persevere, to hold on to hope, and to keep moving forward is always within our grasp. By choosing to never quit, we honor the struggles of those who came before us and pave the way for those who will follow. In every challenge lies an opportunity for growth. Every setback is a setup for a comeback. My journey has taught me that adversity is not a barrier, but a catalyst for change. By embracing hope and refusing to quit, we unlock our true potential and contribute to a better, more resilient society. Insight number 3, people are resilient, but life is tenuous. During my third trip to play golf in California, the rain poured down in sheets. Hills, stripped of their protective vegetation by wildfires, got so soaked that they slid toward the Pacific. Montecito, the wealthy enclave sandwiched between the foothills of the Santa Ynez Mountains and the ocean, where I was scheduled to play golf at the Valley Club of Montecito, was hit especially hard. More than 20 people lost their lives. Some were washed out to sea. Tragedies like that are a sobering reminder of life's fragility. I lost a close friend and work colleague early in my career with Exxon, an African-American mechanical engineer who graduated from the University of Kansas. Ed and I cemented our friendship over long days solving challenges with operating equipment inside the Baytown refinery. He died of acute leukemia at age 31. I sat with him at the hospital a few hours before his last breath. Ed's passing was a wake-up call. Until then, my job was my life. And so I began to seek more balance. I started taking what I call stop and smell the roses trips, drives across the country to soak in the sights and appreciate friends and strangers alike. I explored national parks, toured local museums, ate in roadside diners, and nosed around mom and pop shops. I talked with folks everywhere I went along the way. As much meaning and purpose as we derive from our careers, we must be mindful of the delicate balance between our personal and professional lives. While we may be able to overcome many challenges, the fragility of life is such that it can evaporate in an instant. Insight number 4, from playing from the rough. Happiness is not the result of circumstances. My mother taught us kids not to bemoan the things we didn't have and couldn't control. She challenged us to find joy in working to overcome whatever challenges we faced. We were to take life as it came, to play the ball as it lies. My mother believed that when you face your challenges and appreciate what you have, rather than fixating on what you lack, happiness follows. Being poor wasn't fun. Absorbing the blows of my stepfather's fists or his lashes from fan belts, tree branches, and whatever else he could find wasn't fun. Being laughed at and bullied in school wasn't fun. Being evicted from our rat and roach-infested homes wasn't fun. Being immune to hunger pangs wasn't fun. Wearing flip-flops to class, because they were the only shoes I could afford, wasn't fun. Yet still, I found joy during my childhood, a sense of peace that was exhilarating. I felt it when I let go of my concerns about the things I didn't have and embraced my appreciation for the things I did. Hammering a deformed doll's head with a discarded piece of lumber for a home run, or marching around a dirt road on homemade stilts, left me in a state of unexplainable bliss. In moments like those, I found joy. They confirmed my mother's belief that joy can come from one's state of mind rather than one's circumstances. Insight number 5. We're all in this together. As the air leaked rapidly from the rear passenger side tire on my oversized rental SUV, I pulled over in the dark and rain on a chilly spring night. When the tow truck driver arrived, I greeted him and shook his hand. Calloused and scarred, it reminded me of my grandfather's, evidence of a life of hard work. Even in the pitch black, his eyes looked weary and tired. "I'm George," he said, his voice gruff and short. I explained that I needed a tire change, not a tow. He stopped dead and frowned. "They told me you needed a tow," he said. "I just drove 50 miles for $10. The tension grew palpable. I was stunned. He'd come out on a miserable night to make what amounted to a couple of dollars an hour. It was less than I spent on a sandwich and a drink for a caddy at the turn. "How much do you get for a tow?" I asked. 20, he answered. On that chilly, rainy night, two contrasting Americas had collided on the side of Interstate 71. George, a white man in his mid-50s who looked older than his years from a lifetime of working with his hands, feeling gut-punched by the thought of making only 10 bucks for changing a tire. And me, a black man traveling across the country, spending tens of thousands of dollars to chase a dream most folks would consider whimsical at best. I told George that my tip would make his trip worthwhile. After he finished changing the tire, I handed him $50. His resentment evaporated as quickly as the air had leaked from my tire. In the dark, he smiled and extended a hard, now gritty hand. In the end, it's not about which America we live in. It's about understanding and respecting both. It's about realizing that we're all in this together. I hope you've enjoyed listening to 5 insights from Playing from the Rough.
Thank you, Jimmy. That was 5 big ideas from Playing from the Rough, a personal journey through America's 100 greatest golf courses by Jimmy James. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.